శ్రీ అరుణాచల రమణ మందిరం 25th యానివర్సరీ 1975-2000. ఇట్ వాజ్ ద ఫస్ట్ ఇయర్ ఆఫ్ క్లాసెస్ ఇన్ ది న్యూలీ బిల్ట్ వన్ రూమ్ స్కూల్ హౌస్ పిక్చరస్క్లీ లొకేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద క్వైట్ రూరల్ కమ్యూనిటీ ఆఫ్ క్లారెన్స్ ఇన్ ద అనపోలిస్ వ్యాలీ ఆఫ్ నోవా స్కోషియా. ది ఇయర్ వాజ్ 1879. At the same time, far across the globe, in another quiet, remote place, a village in South India, on the night of December 30, a son was born to Aragamma and Sundaramayyar. Who could have ever imagined that this rural schoolhouse and that newborn boy, then linked in time, would once again be linked in spirit 95 years later. Soon after, the 130-acre Nova Scotia Arunachala Ashrama Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center was founded in 1972. Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat began his regular visits from New York City. Immediately, he was attracted to the property on the ashrama's lower field, just off the Clarence Road, about 50 yards from the ashrama house. It was the 100 by 75 foot corner lot donated to the local school board in 1879 by the then owner of the ashrama farm. The ashrama did not own this lot. Someone had bought it from the school board 3 years earlier. Bhagavat would almost daily visit this small plot, always commenting on its tortoise shape with lower ground on all four sides. On this lot, the Clarence West School stood up to 1969. It was then bought, loaded onto a flatbed truck, and moved 1 mile down the road. The granite slabs that served as its foundation and an old hand-powered water pump was all that remained. Bhakta Bhagavat would daily stroll the grounds, reciting the Sri Lalita Sahasranama Stotram, praying to the Divine Mother to bless her children by building a temple on this land for devotees to gather in and immerse themselves in the direct teachings of self-inquiry. After 2 years, in 1974, his dream began to materialize. Mr. B.K. Raju, a very prominent but humble and devoted businessman of Nova Scotia, began to take an active interest in the prospect of buying the lot and the old schoolhouse, reuniting them once again for yet another type of schooling, the training of the spirit. He started a trust for borrowing funds, arranged for the purchase of the school, engaged an architect, all of which injected the necessary impetus in the hearts of John and Matthew Greenblatt and Dennis Hattle, who then lived in the ashrama, and Darlene Delisi, who lived nearby. They felt charged with energy and genuine inspiration, watching their lofty ideals of head and heart now taking shape in the form of a temple. The logistics of returning the schoolhouse back to the ashrama, lifting the 30-ton structure 5 feet high, and then sliding it onto its new raised foundation were certainly mind-boggling for the young devotees. But every obstacle was calmly met with a growing faith that by the temple's completion established itself in their hearts so firmly that it has been serenely carrying them safely through life's troubled waters ever since. More than the physical obstacles were the financial hurdles. Mr. Raju's trust fund proved unproductive and was terminated. Daily wages had to be met, supplies bought, contractors paid. The young aspirants of the ashrama were not fundraisers, nor were they financially savvy. Their only wealth was the devotion and faith that filled their hearts. They solely depended on this to meet the needs. Their faith and devotion were at times severely tested, but proved ultimately triumphant. The Maharishi repeatedly assured them of his all-pervasive presence in many seen and unseen ways. Faith remained steady and help came, especially from the courageously noble hearts of the late Alexander Hickson and Dr. Mohinder Goomer, both of which generously expressed themselves, relieving the debts and ensuring that Sri Arunachala Ramana Mandiram would stand as a lasting tribute to the silent sage of the holy hill of the beacon light, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. The term Hridaya. Sri T.K. Sundaresh Iyer was one among the few who had the privilege of not being addressed by Bhagavan in honorific terms. He fondly addressed him as Sundaresa or Sundaram. However, he was known popularly only as T.K.S. in the ashram. His erudition in Vedantic literature was deep. He was proficient in Sanskrit, Tamil, and English, so he aptly fitted in to act as an interpreter to Sri Bhagavan, though most of his time he spent in the ashram office attending to correspondence. Of course, in this also, he was blessed because he had to show letters to Bhagavan and get hints from him while answering certain letters. A staunch devotee living in England, Harry Dickman, was soaked in Sri Bhagavan's teachings, though he could not have his darshan. He wrote asking for an explanation as to the term Hridayam and its significance. I got from Bhagavan hints on how the reply should be formed. The following is the gist of the reply, which was approved by Bhagavan and sent to Harry Dickman, TKS. Just as there is a cosmic center from which the whole universe arises and has its being and functions, with the power or the directing energy emanating therefrom, so also is there a center within the frame of the physical body wherein we have our being. This center in the human body is in no way different from the cosmic center. It is this center in us that is called the Hridaya, the seat of pure consciousness, realized as existence, knowledge, and bliss. This is really what we call the seat of God in us. It is this Hridaya that is said to be different from the physical heart, regulating the blood circulation. The Hridaya has its being on the right side and is not commonly known or felt. The primary thought in us, arising as I, when traced to its source, ends somewhere in us, and this place where all thoughts die, where the ego has vanished, is the Hridaya. From this center is felt and enjoyed the pure consciousness. Hridaya, described as the literal, actual, physical seat of the intuition of the self, has the meaning explained above. Perhaps the words physical seat may create some confusion. What it really means is that there is a center of pure consciousness in the physical body. It is related to the physical, but is not itself physical. The word Hridaya is a composite of Hrid and I am, center, this. It is the center on the right which we reach as a result of meditation. From the Hridaya, consciousness arises to the Sahasrara through the Sushumna and from there spreads out to all the parts of the body through the several nadis. Then alone we become conscious of the objects around us, man, due to the illusion that these have real existence, experiences suffering as he strays far away from his self, the seat from where all these arise and manifest is the Hridaya. Whether in sleep, joy, sorrow, fear or satisfaction, we return to this heart, and that is why we feel lost to all consciousness of things around. If by meditation or vichara we attain to our center, the Hridaya, and thus are our real self, we enjoy unalloyed bliss. In the course of tracing ourselves back to our source, when all thoughts have vanished, there arises a throb from the Hridaya on the right, manifesting as Aham, Aham. This is the sign that pure consciousness is beginning to reveal itself. But that is not the end in itself. Watch where from this Spurana throbbing arises, and wait attentively and continually for the revelation of the self. Then comes the awareness, oneness of existence. When we steady our breath, we feel the steadying of our thoughts. Then the thoughts turn inward and melt away at a point. Watching this point where the thoughts vanish will also help us to merge our source in the Hridaya. Sourced from moments remembered.